T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, happy Tuesday, and welcome in. Alongside the four-time Pro Bowler Lorenzo Neal, the great Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Mornings with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. John Morosi, MLB insider for both Fox Sports and the MLB Network. He's going to be coming up in just a few moments. At 8:45 today, we've got 2 tickets to give away to WWE Payback at the SAP Center. At 9:05, an hour from now, Javier Lopez will join us, and at 9:45, Sean Livingston. We want to dive into the baseball conversation as quickly as possible, so what we'll do right now is throw it over to Dibs for your update.
And the Warriors just one more day away from being back on the floor, Game 2 against Portland tomorrow night at Oracle Arena. Matt Barnes not likely to play as he recovers from ankle and foot injuries. One guy who will play, Kevin Durant. Kalena Azubuike joins us in studio the morning after every Warriors home playoff game. Yesterday, he talked about KD.
No concerns. I think he's all the way back. He looks extremely confident on that knee. He doesn't look like he's compensating for it. He doesn't look like he's scared or trying to figure out, okay, can I push off? Can I get to that spot when I see it open up like I want to? Can I explode to the basket like I want to? He's dunking on people. He's sidestepping, Euro-stepping off that knee.
Tip time tomorrow, 7:30 from Oracle. Meanwhile, Cavs and Spurs both up 2-0 in their series. Joe, 3 games tonight. Jazz Clippers, Celtics Bulls, Bucks Raptors. Which one are you most interested in?
If Gobert wasn't hurt, I would love to see the Jazz win 2 on Los Angeles' court and put that little team on the brink of complete meltdown. But I'm going to be focused on the Bulls-Celtics if I only get one. Greek Freak was awesome in Game 1, and I think you've got an upset coming in that series. But the Celtics, number 1 seed, you got to find a way to bounce back after what happened Sunday night against Jimmy Butler and company.
Meanwhile, story number 2 gives us the Sharks in center stage. They're down 2-1 to Edmonton. They haven't scored in 6 periods. The Melker Carlson overtime winner, their last tally in the series. Coverage begins at 6:30 on our sister station, K-Fox. Story number 3, A's lose 7-0 to A.J. Griffin, former teammate, and the Texas Rangers. More bad news, though. Kendall Graveman goes on the DL with a shoulder issue. Andrew Triggs against Yu Darvish tonight at the Coliseum, 6:15. Your dugout show here on 95.7 The Game. The Giants, meanwhile, are playing the first of 2 at Kansas City. The update brought to you by NBC Sports. Warriors Game 2 is on NBC Sports Bay Area. Fitz, JB, Roz, Papa Saint, and Kalena get it all started Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. on NBC Sports Bay Area. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. Tim Roy has the call tomorrow, 7:30. Right here on 95.7 The Game.
Great stuff, Dibs. He's an MLB insider for both Fox Sports and the MLB Network. You can follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. John Morosi joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. John, good morning and thank you for your time. We'll dive right into the Giants. What do you think the likelihood is that A, Johnny Cueto opts out after this year, and B, does not re-sign with the San Francisco Giants?
Great questions. I think it's very likely he opts out as long as he continues pitching well. I think that to me is really the paramount thing here. We've seen it with many, many players with these opt-outs. Loyalty certainly is part of the equation, but the larger part is how am I pitching? And is there a better deal out there for me? And you've even seen cases where CC Sabathia, for example, opted out, re-signed with the Yankees. So I think it's a typical thing that we'll see him opt out as long as he has a good season. And in terms of leaving, I think that question to me hinges to some extent on what happens with Madison Bumgarner. How much money the Giants have in the overall pitching allocation for them to figure things out moving forward? Because at some point in time, they've got to pay Bumgarner as well. He's earned that money. He deserves it. And certainly his performance over his career with the Giants means that he probably should be getting more money than Cueto, but of course that's not the case right now.
Is it time for the Giants to change their way of thinking as it pertains to the words you just said, earns and deserves? Because you look at the Matt Cain contract, he earned it and he deserved it, yet now they're on the hook for $21 million for a guy who is struggling to be your number five starter. Is that whole notion of earns and deserves an outdated kind of line of thinking?
Well, that's a very fair point, and we're seeing teams across Major League Baseball change their thought process on that exact paradigm. Where for baseball, for a long time, you were paid based on what you did. I think that the Albert Pujols contract, for example, with the Angels was emblematic of that. Even though he was getting paid or will get paid into his early 40s, when obviously the production is not going to be what it was when he was with the Cardinals. So that paradigm still exists on some level. It certainly exists for a team that, as you point out, has won three World Series with many of these players and really was in the business, and I think rightfully, of rewarding the performance of a lot of the guys that won them World Series rings. Is that playing into the fact that Cain right now is still their fifth starter? Perhaps. And I think we're seeing that borne out, where really I think Cain is on a start-by-start, maybe not quite a start-by-start basis, but close to it, where he's going to have to continually justify his place in the rotation. And Bruce Bochy has been very candid in saying he believes that he has earned that right to do so. But will we see a change going forward? I think the further you get away from the most recent championship, the more businesslike you probably are able to be. That being said, if you let Bumgarner walk and or Cueto walk, look around the division, to me, I think it's good business at this point in time to keep Bumgarner on your staff and pay him whatever, not maybe whatever it takes, but I mean certainly pay him the fair market rate for that pitcher, because if you take Bumgarner's reliable innings out of the equation, you take that decision in isolation, I don't really see how the Giants would let Bumgarner walk and become a better ball club, given everything he's represented and certainly his durability to them over a period of time. I could probably see a more likely scenario where Cueto walks than where Bumgarner walks. Bumgarner's been too much a part of why they've been so great for this entire decade for me to see any scenario in which Bumgarner walks.
It's a great saying out there, perception versus reality. Perception is, hey, the Giants are going to be fine. This is a team that every even year they're going to compete for a championship. But the reality, what is the reality? When you look at the reality, can these guys hit? Do they have enough bats? What do you see this team thus far?
Well, that's my concern, is really that, is the lineup consistency. Of course, they were shut down last night by Senzatella with Colorado, who's actually been a very impressive young rookie for the Rockies. To me, it's the consistency of the at-bats. For me, it's been a little confusing and surprising that's been the case for them so far this year. But you know what? I go back to this point. If you give me a full, healthy season of Pence and Panic, I still feel like at some point in time this lineup is going to figure it out by the time the season is over. And I look at the division. The Diamondbacks have been better than expected. Of course, the D-backs did a big win against the Dodgers last night in L.A. I think they've shown more staying power than maybe I thought they were going to have. The Rockies, as you saw last night, they've been, I think, surprisingly competitive in their own right. So I think it's a more balanced division than what we saw in years past. And again, to me, the absence of Posey is really looming large here. And I think if the Giants can find a way to just basically stay around 500 or close to it by the time Posey comes back, I think that then they can basically restart their season at this point in time. It's hard for me to really get a good gauge on where the Giants are as an overall lineup without Posey's presence in there every day. I will say this. At the top of the lineup, I think it's really paramount that Span and whoever's going to be at the top there, they get things going, they get traffic on the bases for the middle part of the lineup, because that's maybe been the one part, in addition to Posey's absence, that's been lacking a bit, is that consistent on-base presence at the top of the lineup. I think that's one thing the Giants have to address now in this next probably 2 or 3 weeks.
MLB insider for both Fox Sports and MLB Network, John Morosi with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. How is the new collective bargaining agreement, specifically the luxury tax, going to affect the approach of teams heading into the trade deadline, knowing that gigantic, overflowing free agent class of 2018 is on the horizon? Do you see teams taking a different strategic approach this summer because of that?
Well, I think one thing that we'll see certainly teams take a different approach in is maybe on the selling angle, like the Kansas City Royals, for example, where you used to be able to think about, well, if I keep this player, if I keep an Eric Hosmer or Lorenzo Cain, I'll give him the qualifying offer, and then I'll be able to get that first-round pick. Whereas now it's not a first-round pick any longer in many of those cases. So I think for that reason, you may see teams be a bit more aggressive on the sell decision because of the fact that there is not quite as much compensation waiting on the back end of the year for those teams. So I think from that standpoint, we may see the likes of Hosmer and Kane and Moustakas available in a more robust way than we would have under the previous CBA. But yeah, you raise a very good point about the fact that, listen, there is, I think, more of a punitive luxury tax threshold now. It's certainly not a hard cap by any stretch, but I think you may see some people describe it somewhat accurately, I believe, as a softer cap. I mean, there are some serious drags on the ability to spend for certain ball clubs. And I think the question then becomes, are we seeing teams look at that free agent class, whether it's Machado and Harper, as being a true robust class where you're going to be able to actively bid on them? Do I think that Harper and Machado are strong possibilities for the Giants in two off-seasons times? Perhaps. I mean, look at the way the Giants have spent, and obviously the money coming off the books with the likes of Kane. So maybe you do see that being a possibility. I think it has to factor in on some level. But it does seem to me, in terms of being the foremost consideration, I think it's maybe down there on your list of possible considerations, but it's probably not the number one consideration for the Giants. I think for the Giants, you still look at this team as being, you know what, let's try to win this championship with Bumgarner and Cueto and maximize that possibility to do so, which might, I think, push the Giants towards being a very strong short-term buyer at the deadline this year.
He does an awesome job for Fox Sports and the MLB Network as an MLB insider. Follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. John Morosi with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. John, thank you so much for your time this morning. Dynamite insight as always. We look forward to catching up again soon.
My pleasure, and a big game four for the Sharks as well. We'll be watching carefully in my second favorite sport here this evening.
Yes, sir. Need to figure out a way to put the puck in the back of the net.
Exactly. Tough task there against the Oilers. They got a lot of momentum going now there in Edmonton.
John Morosi, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, John.
My pleasure. Thank you.
He loves the puck. What can you say?
He said, get the momentum going.
Yeah, he had me until the momentum.
I know, that's when I looked at you. You looked like, oh, here you go.
This is a difficult subject to breach, and there are a lot of people who aren't going to want to hear this, but it needs to be brought up regardless. This Giant run is over. And it's going to be tough to kind of process that because you want to believe with the even years and with the talent you've got that you're always going to be in contention. That's the beauty of the franchise, is the ability to show that they're still going for it. But I spent some time last night after dinner just kind of plowing through what I've seen this season and then last year and beyond. It's not there. Go back to the last World Series, 2014. There have been two full seasons and almost a month since then during the regular season. Take the total record of all MLB teams during that time since 2014. You know where the Giants rank? 15th. Right in the middle. 30 MLB teams since the 2014 World Series, the Giants have the 15th best overall record. 15th. There are at least five teams out there that are actively trying to lose. Philly has actively been trying to lose. Milwaukee and Cincinnati have actively been trying to lose. So you're really 15th out of maybe 25 teams. Since you were the best team in baseball at last year's All-Star break, you're 35-51. 35-51. Johnny Cueto's not coming back. If you believe Henry Schulman, who writes for the Chronicle, he had a story the other day where he got Johnny Cueto's quote, Cueto would like to finish his career when he opts out after this year. He'd like to finish his career in the American League. That's your best pitcher right now. And a lot of people don't want to hear that, but I'm talking about right now, Johnny Cueto's your best pitcher. He's on his way to the American League unless the Giants can find a way to convince him otherwise. So right now you've got a team that's 15th best in record since 2014, the last ring, 7th best in the National League. Your best pitcher at the moment is on his way out. You're 35-51 since last year's All-Star break. Jeff Samardzija is a mess. That's not going to turn around. He's probably better served in the bullpen, and that might be a move that takes place next season. Matt Cain is pretty much finished. He's on the back nine of his career, and we're talking he's coming up the fairway on 17. Good start the other night, but can you really bank on him to be a legitimate threat all season and into the playoffs? Probably not. So what you're looking at is Bumgarner and Matt Moore for the future. You've got an outfield that right now, left field's a complete mess. Center field doesn't look much better. And while you've got Hunter Pence in right, he's 34 years old. How much is left there, especially based on the injuries we've seen the last two seasons? Posey's out with a concussion. He and Crawford, who's, in my opinion, your best player right now, are on the wrong side of 30. Brandon Belt is going to be 29. The Dodgers are stacked for the next few years. The Rockies and the Diamondbacks are on the come. The Cubs aren't going anywhere. The Nationals are going to push through 2018 with Bryce Harper. They might lose him, but for the next couple of years, they're going to be right in the thick of it. The Mets have one of the best rotations in baseball. It's tough to hear this, but it's over for this team at the moment. In terms of being a legitimate World Series threat, it's over. So the rationale is kind of what John Morosi just told us. Focus on 2018. The deepest free agent class, arguably, in history. Bryce Harper's going to be out there. Manny Machado's going to be out there. Don't go overspending at the deadline. Don't get tied up to too many contracts because you don't want to get stuck with the luxury tax. Because under the new CBA, the luxury tax is a B word.
For lack of
a bear. It's a bear. Yeah, it's a grizzly bear.
It's a B word.
That's not in hibernation. Here's John Morosi on what the Giants could think about doing when we just spoke with him regarding 2018.
Are we seeing teams look at that free agent class, whether it's Machado and Harper, as being a true, robust class where you're going to be able to actively bid on them? Do I think that Harper and Machado are strong possibilities for the Giants in two off-season times? Perhaps. I mean, look at the way the Giants have spent, and obviously the money coming off the books with the likes of Kane. So maybe you do see that being a possibility. I think it has to factor in on some level.
Predictably, here it comes from the 408. They were saying the same thing about the Giants in 10, 12, and 14. How many of the guys from the bullpen are still here?
10, 12, and 14?
Starting rotation still here? It's tough. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. But if you go through all this, everything I just laid out, it's just facts. 15th best record in baseball since the last World Series. 15th. And that's with at least five teams actively trying to lose baseball games. Actively. That means you were 15th out of 25. You're 7th in the National League. How are you going to get past the Dodgers this season? How are you going to get past the Dodgers next season? How are you going to get past the Cubs in any of the next 3 years? Those are the questions you need to wrestle with. It's not necessarily a bad thing. You've had one of the greatest runs in baseball history. That's something to reflect upon and enjoy. And you still have some great talent down there that's worth watching. And with the way this team spends and with their competitive nature, they'll continue to give you a product that's worth viewing, worth attending, worth cheering for. But right now, from a true viability standpoint, this team is not on par with the elites in the business. You're not going to be able to beat Boston if you go to the World Series. And Boston isn't even at 100% capacity right now. Just getting out of the National League, Dibs, it's tough to hear, but it's all there in front of you. Since the last World Series, 15th best record in baseball.
It's been a struggle, and since last year's All-Star break, 16 games below 500 and off to a bad start this year as well. But it's not as easy as saying, well, the run is over, it's time to rebuild, because you start to look at what you're on the hook for contract-wise, and you've got Matt Cain through this season and next. Hunter Pence, same thing, this season and next. You've got Bumgarner for three more years. Posey signed an 8-year contract. So as much as you may want to make moves to free up some salary and bring in younger players and turn over the roster, it's going to have to be a slow process to do that because you're on the hook for some of these guys for years.
From the 925, agree completely, but how do you sell a rebuild to the fans without admitting it? They're doing it right now. That's the genius of the approach to the front office. Brandon Crawford's under contract to a very good deal. Based on what Crawford brings defensively, which, by the way, everyone always focuses on the glove work. How nasty is his arm? How often is Belt forced to scoop out a garbage throw from short? You watch enough baseball, there are dudes that make these great plays defensively, but the first baseman's got to bail him out. Crawford's got a howitzer at short. Yeah. That always hits Belt in the chest. I mean, it's a perfect throw. You got him under a good, very good contract in terms of value. Same thing with Brandon Belt. And when Bumgarner gets his deal done again, you'll continue to buy in. The key is to continue to work the talent up through the system. Who knows what the trade deadline is going to be, but I wouldn't assume this team's going to go out there and make any big splashy moves. You don't want any deals on the books that are going to run through 2018. For a team that's already violated the luxury tax, those penalties are insane. And every year you do it on top of that, they just get worse and worse and worse. You're at a point now where it's better for teams like the Giants, sit back and chill and make sure you're set for 2018, because then you can go make the big splashy play. Let the Cubs have their run. Let the Cubs do their thing. Bide your time and get ready to rearm and reload in a couple years.
How much do you look at it, Joe and Dibs, and say, okay, I got my Hunter Pence. Here's a guy that close to the trade deadline, there's going to be some contenders. And he's going to have, you know, this is a guy that's probably got a year or two left. So didn't you try to trade and acquire more picks? Here's a guy where you look at...
Are you talking about right there?
Hunter Pence. So
there's a year left on his deal after this year.
He's
the type of guy that maybe at the trade deadline you would consider moving him if you could bring back assets. But again, how do you sell that to the fans? This isn't a team that sells the other side of the bay, sells the rebuild, not here.
No.
So you've got to be very creative with how you go about
this. That's
true.
And you can't do it to all of them. You can't do all the players. But do you do that, Joe and Dibs, because you say, okay, we know that we're not going to make the playoffs this year if that happens and this guy's having a decent year? So if Pence is having a decent year, do you do that to try to acquire some younger guys to start this process? Do you look at everyone on this team, you say, okay, we know we got to do Madison. Maybe we can keep Cueto, and we know that Crawford at second, and we know what he is, and we know Posey's good. So do we say that's going to be the nucleus that we try to keep, and then we try to acquire to start go through this process, keep some, of course, you got to keep some big name guys.
Crawford's your nucleus. You can try to phrase it right. Any other way. He's your best player.
Yeah.
He's the best non-pitcher on the team. And people will try to say Posey, but the reality is it's passed him by. He's still a high-level
catcher.
Still good.
I got you.
But Crawford's your MVP. He's your best player. No, you can't do that. You see, the genius of the Giants is that they sell you on competition. They fill that ballpark every night. Why? Two reasons. Great place to watch a game, but they're contenders. You believe that they're one of the best in the business. They have been. This year, you can mask it a little bit and say, well, you know, it's a slow April. It's happened before. It's not going to get that much better.
This year. Series
against Kansas City, sure, you can beat up on the Royals, make it look like you're back. But the reality is, take a look at your division. It's not just the Dodgers anymore. Colorado is a better team. Arizona is a better team. Padres are trash, but it's a better division, and that's before you even get outside and you take a look at the Cubs, the Nationals, and the Mets. You got teams that are on the come here. You've got a core. You're not going to try to sell anything off because you don't want to give the image to the fan base that sells that. What's the sellout streak at? Anyone know? It's hundreds. Hundreds of games. You don't want to give anyone a reason to believe you aren't going for a World Series, because that's when the ticket prices and the ticket sales start to fall off.
If they continue to play at the rate they're playing now, though, you won't have to pretend as a fan base. If they're 15 below 500 at the All-Star break, at the trade deadline in the end of July, you're going to see a move made. I mean, it's different if you're five.
Which direction?
You're going to have to sell. If you're 15 games below 500 and you're 12 out of the second wild card, you don't have to pretend to your fan base that you're still trying to compete.
Can't you just sell them on the odd year, though? People buy that stuff up. They buy up the even year magic. They buy up the, it's an odd year. It's not our thing.
I think normally you can, Joe, but with the way things have started this year, with clearly no left fielder and the back end of the rotation looking suspect, and even fan favorite Hunter Pence looking like Father Time is playing a little game of catch-up, if all these bad things continue to pile up, then you'll have no choice but to make a move.
A conversation with the great Drew Brees. That's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We've got WWE payback tickets to give away in about 14 minutes at 8:45. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. He is a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP, a 10-time Pro Bowler, and a quarterback, the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Follow him on Twitter at Drew Brees. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Drew Brees joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Drew, first off, good morning. Thank you very much for your time. How's the offseason treating you?
It's been good. A lot of time with family, but ready to get rolling now that the offseason program has started.
Now, I'm sure you saw the news recently that former teammate of yours in San Diego, LaDainian Tomlinson, not only going into the Hall of Fame, but choosing one, Lorenzo Neal, to introduce him. Any advice for Lowe's introductory speech?
Hey, just be yourself, Lowe. You know what I'm saying?
BB, holla at your boy. You know, it was a matter of time to restart, bro. It was...
Hey, let's get started early. Bro.
Okay. Hey, Breezus, man. Tell me, man, how is it when you look at just your career and the way that you've been able to go about it in the consistency, always chasing greatness, going from San Diego and, you know, and drafting Philip Rivers and your process that you continue to stay the course, getting injured and change your whole course, man, that your future of San Diego was, you know, the window closed, getting injured. And going to Miami, thinking that was going to happen, they turned the door, you know, shut the door, and then New Orleans, winning a Super Bowl. Has this been just a whirlwind of a ride? And how do you keep that grounded, you know, during this process as you continue to chase your greatness?
Well, you know, this has been my 12th year in New Orleans, which is hard to believe. It's gone by that fast. I mean, it really does feel like yesterday that made that transition from San Diego here to New Orleans in 06. But, man, it's been an amazing ride. You know, it's been with one head coach, Sean Payton, which I consider myself very lucky. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league when it comes to evaluating talent in regards to communicating a message to the team, in regards to putting us all in the best position to succeed according to our strengths. And that was something that I identified immediately by being around a guy like him was that, you know, he was going to take all the things that I was great at from San Diego and then incorporate that into the things that, you know, kind of his background being with the West Coast offense. And we've gradually evolved this offense to fit all the strengths of the guys that we have here. And I'm excited about a lot of the young talent we have offensively. You know, we've got 5 draft picks coming up here in the first 3 rounds of this upcoming draft. So we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, continue to add good young talent to our team. We play in a really tough division, you know, with Atlanta, Carolina, and Tampa. So we got to continue to find ways to stay out of the curve, including myself.
Is this partly what keeps you motivated, the idea of working with a head coach you've had for so long and being able to help mentor the younger players on your team in the West Coast offense?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does, because every year is a new challenge and it's a new team. And, you know, you have to evolve because, you know, everybody's taking a look at the film from the year before and they're trying to make adjustments to stop you and your offense. And so you're always evolving. But yeah, that with the young guys, you know, it's opportunities to build that chemistry and that camaraderie and also to give them an understanding of where this offense has come from. You know, from where it started in 06 to where it is now is, yeah, there's a lot of the base concepts, and yet we've evolved so much, whether it's just the little slight nuances or certain adjustments or certain checks or just – whatever it is, and it's just time on task. You know, it takes time, it takes practice, but that's part of the fun is when you can, you know, put in that work and that time together. You know, by the time you go through an entire off season and preseason and into the regular season, the amount of reps that you do and the confidence that you build and gain, you know, really pays dividends once you get to the regular season, then you're able to, you know, go out there and execute it.
Super Bowl champ Drew Brees with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. New Orleans is one of the most unique cities in the country. The French influence, the good times, the laws, everything that goes on down there, that's why it's such a hot travel destination. But you have some unique insight into playing there and what it's like in terms of possible distractions for younger players, Bourbon Street and all that comes with it. With the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, when they get to Southern Nevada, there's going to be a whole new world of possible distractions for younger players who may have just come into money. As a veteran, as a leader, what do you try to impart on some of the younger guys to try to avoid that temptation from letting it, you know, get in the way of the job at hand?
Maybe the best advice that was given to me or that I've heard was early in my career. It was actually my first year here in New Orleans. So we had a speaker come talk to us, kind of a veteran guy. And his advice was, hey, know when to work and know when to have fun. And also heed the advice of, you know, veteran guys, the guys that have come before you,
in regards to, you know, the mistakes that are out there that you can, you know, avoid making because of their advice and their mentorship. And listen, we're blessed to play this game. It takes a lot of hard work, dedication, focus, sacrifice in order to be great at it on a consistent basis. And man, when it's time to work, you got to be able to lock in and you got to focus and work. And when it's time to relax and have a good time, then you can do that, but also know how to know where the problems lie and know the things to avoid, and you know, seek the advice of the guys that came before you, because they probably made the mistakes that, you know, hopefully they'll be able to help you avoid.
Drew, you have a huge sphere of influence. You've had it when I was in year 10 and I came to the Chargers, and still had it, was still a leader in the way that you commanded certain things and put pressure on guys. And that's just who you are. When you look at this young man and Derek Carr, what similarities, you know, he's a man of faith, but what similarities, and what do you see when you see a young quarterback and on the path of greatness? What do you see when you look at Carr?
I think he's a phenomenal player, and I think he's only scratching the surface. You know, he's still a very young player, but he's got a lot of good pieces around him, you know, with a good offensive line, a good run game, and some talented wide receivers. But his ability to spread the ball around, he's one of the more talented guys just throwing it. Like, if you just said, hey, arm talent, you know, his ability just to get it up and out very quickly with good velocity and good accuracy. I mean, he's got all those physical tools, but and I don't know Derek Carr very well at all, but just from everything I've heard from teammates and guys that know him, is that he's a very dedicated guy when it comes to his craft, preparing to be the best that he can be for practice, for games. He seems like a very intelligent guy, a very charismatic guy, who commands that respect from his teammates, got great leadership ability. And he's just approaching it the right way. You know, he does all the right things off the field as well, which I think is just as important, especially as at the quarterback position where, you know, you are the leader of the team. So I couldn't be more impressed with him, and I think he's got an extremely bright future in this league for a long time.
Drew, I want to tell you, man, thank you so much for your time, man. Tell the wife, kids, we said hello. Love you, brother. Continue to chase greatness, big dog.
You too, Lo. I'll see you soon, brother.
All right, bro.
Thank you, Drew.
All right, guys.
The great Drew Brees, Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP. Dibs, funny story. Actually, not funny at all.
No?
That's the first Super Bowl I ever covered, was that game.
Oh, you don't say.
That game. I got what was called auxiliary media, too. The NFL credentials a lot of people for the Super Bowl. The elite of the elite are in the press box. The rest get what's called auxiliary press. It's generally a section in the stadium, upper level, that they convert to working media. So you're actually out in the stadium.
I've been there.
Which is awesome because you get the crowd noise. I prefer it. You get the crowd noise. You get to be a part of the whole thing. Whereas behind the glass, it's very quiet because you're working. And when Tracy Porter intercepted that pass and was running it back to the end zone, I welled up. Some tears in the eyes.
Wow.
Because of the New Orleans fans and how that was this moment of catharsis. Katrina was absolute rock bottom for them. The team was so instrumental in bringing them back, not just from a structural standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint. And that was the only thing really giving them joy. And they came all the way back. And when they won this Super Bowl and delivered it to the people of New Orleans, as Tracy Porter is running that thing back, you're looking around Joe Robbie Stadium, Hard Rock Casino, whatever the hell they call it. The Saints fans lost their mind. You couldn't help but get caught up in that emotion.
That's
such
awesome.
A great moment.
A great, great moment for a good franchise. And Lo, for you to bring your former teammate on our show like that, it's very cool. I want to thank you in front of everybody and just say, well done, tip of the cap. Drew Brees, a class act.
He really is. And I had mixed emotions. Believe it or not, this guy, for me, it was because I was been a Brett Favre fan. And in that NFC Championship game, I was mixed emotions. You kind of wanted Brett, the old man, to kind of get it, ride him out into the sunset. And then I was pulling for Drew because a teammate and a guy that you played with and what was going on in the city of New Orleans.
Oh, the bounty game. You talking about the NFC Championship?
Yeah. That was a hard-hitting game. The Super
Brett
Bowl
Favre almost got killed in that game.
Favre was getting absolutely rocked. But you know,
landed
that was
right on the number that game.
That was a hell
right
of a game. Number. But that to me, was a better game than the Super Bowl.
Tremendous game. I believe Sanchez was in the AFC Championship game right before that.
Yeah.
As you could imagine, it wasn't as good. All right, we got some draft talk to get into next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Rock says, know your role, shut your mouth. We got tickets to give away to WWE Payback. Two tickets, in fact, at SAP Center Sunday, April 30th. All winners qualify for a pair of VIP tickets, which include a WWE chair. This is your chance to see all of your favorite WWE Raw superstars live in action, like Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Samoa Joe, and many more. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, Ticketmaster.com. Going to the phones for this one, 888-957-9570. We're going to give you a trivia question. First one to call in, get it right, wins the tickets. Which superstar won the inaugural Money in the Bank ladder match in 2005? 888-957-9570. Which superstar won the inaugural Money in the Bank ladder match in 2005?
I'll never forget that one.
Dibs, your best guess.
My same guess on every wrestling question. Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
But that's incorrect. Bruno Sammartino. Bruno Sammartino is the correct answer.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Rest in peace, Superfly Snuka. I think he died.
He did.
Okay.
He beat that murder charge.
Yeah.
He ended up outlasting that murder charge. 888-957-9570. Which superstar won the inaugural Money in the Bank ladder match in 2005? All right. So we were going to come back and fire off a little draft conversation, but we've got to start with the latest on Marshawn Lynch and the Oakland Raiders. And that is going to lead us into the draft. A reminder, 20 minutes from now, Javi Lopez will join the program. An hour from now, we'll talk with Sean Livingston. This is from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, who appeared on the program Good Morning Football this morning. And this is in regards to Marshawn Lynch. Quote, right now, there's no agreement between Marshawn Lynch and the Oakland Raiders. And the real deadline here, they hope to have it done by Monday when off-season conditioning started. Didn't happen. The real deadline here is the draft. The NFL draft in Philadelphia, 9 days away, the start of the first round. So, we revisit the conversation. The deadline here is the draft because this is a very deep running back class. You take a look at what's going to be out there. Leonard Fournette from LSU, Dalvin Cook, Florida State, Christian McCaffrey, Stanford, Joe Mixon, Oklahoma, Alvin Kamara from Tennessee. You got Perrine from Oklahoma, Foreman from Texas, Connor from Pittsburgh. It goes on and on. This is a deep running back class. So, presumably, if a deal can't be done by next week, might as well just address this need in the draft. Lo, what happens first? A deal with Marshawn Lynch or the Raiders turn and decide the draft is where they're going to find their next power back?
A deal with Marshawn first. You got to get this done. And I think that both sides are it has an advantage because Marshawn can be like, hey, look, hey, I had to pay. I'm paying this money back. I want to play for you guys. So the Raiders, hey, I'm good for the Raider fan. I'm good for the brand. He has that advantage. People want to see Oakland, California, you know, Marshawn Lynch here. And the Raiders have theirs because they can say, Marshawn, we can give you the minimum because I know you had to pay the 2.5 back to Seattle. We can give you the minimum, but then let's make it incentive base, touchdowns, all those different things in there because we just don't have necessarily money and we'll go in another direction because this is a deep class. So both sides have some weight. So I think that they're going to err on the side of caution and go with Marshawn Lynch and get this thing done because if he waits after the draft, I just don't think if they draft someone in the second or third round, you won't bring Marshawn in.
Well, it's done. You don't need him.
Exactly.
You can do it for cheaper, healthier, younger.
Yep.
You don't have the experience. You don't have the credibility.
Right.
But you still fill the need. I can't help but think to myself that this is the Raiders playing back at the New England Patriots story from last week. That felt like Lynch trying to drum up more money. Well, the Patriots are interested, and if something can't get done with the Raiders, Marshawn Lynch might go join New England. That felt like Lynch trying to drum up more money. This feels like the natural playback from the Oakland side. Something can't get done by the deadline. We're moving on.
I mean, it makes sense to move on. If you get to the draft and you have that hole still in your backfield because Latavius Murray is gone and you were thinking that you'd go with the two young guys and then Marshawn Lynch. But if this thing continues to drag on and drag on and you get closer to the draft, the Raiders might just say, forget the whole thing. You can stay retired or you can go to Seattle and they can take the cap hit because ultimately Marshawn's impact on the community is at least as heavy as his impact on the field will be. It's not like you're expecting this guy to come in and rush for 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns. If that was the case, Seattle would keep him. This is a bit player who may be overplaying his hand a little bit in these negotiations.
Do you feel that the Raiders have all the leverage here? The Raiders might as well just sit on this thing until they get what they want, right?
Yeah, I do believe that they're going to sit for a while.
Can't let that one slide.
Yeah, you got one. You slid that one in. I think that they're going to let it sit for a while, Joe, but I think this will get done. I think they've done too much. You got to realize you're taking her to the dance. You're taking her to dinner. You spent a lot of great time. Your next month, you're still going to movies every day, still going to lunch every day. You're in it now. The Raiders went through, they wanted him to go talk to Seattle. He did that. He's already came into the facility. You've got time, energy, and everything invested. Reggie's working on the contract. I just think this is at the point of no return. Both sides are going to come to an agreement, Marshawn and the Raiders.
Where do you think they're at? Like, what are we talking about in terms of compensation per year? It's probably, what, a two-year deal? I would venture to say this is a two-year deal. No one's going to sign a guy to a one-year deal, because then if he plays out of his mind, you have no leverage. He's set for free agency. So you do a two-year deal. How much per year? Like, what's the hang-up here? Are we talking the difference between $8 and $10 million, $1 and $2 million? What do you think it is?
I think it's $1 and $2 million, Joe. But here's, I think they're looking at this. They had Marshawn, I think, what I've heard, he had to pay Seattle $2 million back. They asked, hey, we need a little bit of that money. So he's been
because they let him walk with about $11 million that they could have asked for all of it.
Absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. So they're saying, okay, so let's pay that back. So he's probably went into his account, he's paid that back. Or he's making that, going to make that right. So, okay, so if you look at $2.5 million, now if the Raiders were going to say, we're only going to pay you $3 million or $3.5, that's only $1 million difference. So they're probably saying, look, that $2.5, we're going to take that. We're going to pay you that back. So that's going to be your bonus of $2.5. So we're going to take care of that. Now let's average, let's go ahead and go a $2 million this year, play for the minimum, the $900, almost $1 million. Then make it incentive base, and then next year you give him that $3 million. Because if it doesn't shake out, you can wash your hands and walk away.
If you're Lynch, why do you want to come back for that? Feels like you're just working for Seattle then. But the way you laid that out, which just sounds so,
but they don't
so
have,
methodical. Why would you want to come back and play? Why would you want to subject your body to that when you're really just okay? We're going to give you $2.5 million up front so that you can pay off Seattle. And then what? He gets another, what, one?
One, but
and then the second
incentives.
Year's three, but they probably end up dumping him after 1 year because you would hope Richard or Washington emerges into a more feature type back.
Yeah.
So he's going to put all this in and put all this on his body for $500,000?
If he thinks he can win, the minimum is $1 million. So he's going to make $1 million this year because they paid it 2.5. So the minimum salary for any veteran guy that has certain amount over 7 years credited season, the minimum is, I think, $950, so it's $1 million. So they got to pay him the $975, unmutable. So then on top of that, you say, okay, like Dibs was talking about, incentive, 5 touchdowns, another $300,000. 700 yards, give another $100 or $250. If he come to all the OTAs, $300,000 for the OTAs leading up to it. He can only miss maybe two unexcused. So now if you put those.
But isn't he already going to be at two unexcused as of today?
Yeah,
or starting from his contract.
Right, starting from his contract. So those, I'm just saying some of the things that they're going to probably put in place. So this year he can probably make with incentives if he hits them. I think you're probably going to make another $3 million.
I'm starting to think that they can just wait on this until next week, and they're saying you're getting the minimum. And if he says no, then okay, pass. How much is left in the tank? What can he give you? What's the absolute max performance level you can get from Marshawn Lynch this season? If he is at his age, his time away, take all the factors in, what is the peak upside?
Maybe 1,000 yards, let's say. 1,000 yard season and 10 touchdowns. That would be the absolute, I think that would be an incredible year from Lynch.
What would you say?
That'd be a great year. I think
could have had that with Murray though, couldn't you?
You could. I think that he's more explosive. I still think that he's still more powerful. I think if this guy carries between 10 to 15 times and he gets his body in great football shape, and I just think that's the way that he is, who he is, because he coming back to Oakland, California, and he wants to show the Raider fans in this art, silver and black what he has, and he wants to play for this team. I think you give him 10 to 15 carries, Joe. That's, I think that you look at this guy, Max Shears, 1,200 yards, like you said, maybe 10, 12 touchdowns. Because here's the thing, though.
It's a lot of TDs.
But you have the passing game, though. You have the passing game, and you have an offensive line. He played with a subpar offensive line in Seattle. He made that offensive line better. You don't think these guys will bow their neck a little bigger, block a little harder? You have a better offensive line here, and he's a patient runner. This system, you can't put nine guys in the box because now you got one-on-one matchups with the receivers. I think this guy is going to have a bigger year than what he's going to have a bigger year with people than people think.
Roughly off the top of your head, what's a max year for him? Dibbs talking about 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. Is that the top?
I think that possibly if he's in the shape that he can get in and he's got his sea legs on him, I think this guy can get 12 to 1,300 yards.
12 to 1,300 yards.
In this off, now, if you put him in a lot of places, Seattle, it ain't happening.
I know. I'm just talking about Oakland.
Yeah, in Oakland, with this offensive line, with the receivers that they have, and the threat of Carr, and get the tight ends involved, I think that he can.
Then what the hell's taking so long? If a 1,300-yard back is sitting out there, and it's not going to cost you $6 million a year, what are you waiting on?
Like you said, Joe, they're probably – you got to realize – that 2.5, they're already saying, look, we're paying Seattle back. You can't have this guy say, here's Seattle, here's your $2.5 million, and all of a sudden there's no deal. They are going to do something with this guy. I just think it comes down to money, and like you said, they have power.
It is now time for the 4K-a-day National Cash Contest. Hopefully Marshawn Lynch is listening. Maybe he can win this. Put this towards that Seattle money. We can work our way towards getting the deal done. 4K a day National Cash Contest on 957 The Game. Text the code word PLANET. PLANET, as in planet Uranus. 72881 before 15 past the hour for your chance to win, low-hanging fruit dibs,
$1,000.
Be listening every day at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. for your chance to win $1,000. Text message and data rates may apply. What is next for the San Francisco Giants? Still a legitimate contender? We'll talk with the great Javi Lopez in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.